Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. As always, we want to remind you that we typically have 10:30 Zoom fellowship each Sunday that you can join. But this particular Sunday is the first Sunday of each month, and we didn't do it last week because of the 4th of July weekend. But so this Sunday, we're having in-person service. So if you're watching this, you know, it's a little bit late for you to join us in person. Please remember that typically the first of each month, that Sunday, we have in-person and Zoom. So, you know, we're very thankful for all of the blessings that you send to support Unity Center of Light and the work that we do here. So if you are, you know, blessed by the information or the service and the meditation that you receive here, you know, please consider donating and supporting the work we do. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you can just click on the Show More button below, and it will show you all the ways that you can donate. And in addition, please, you know, subscribe if you have not, so you know when new lessons are coming out. And also, if you like this service today, please click the Like button. We appreciate that. Right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Well, good morning, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, July the 9th. The key word is power, and the affirmation is, I look within and discover my power. Great power lies within me, like a treasure chest full of gold and precious jewels buried in my own backyard. It is so close that I sometimes overlook it, leading me to search near and far, seeking strength and value outside myself. Yet my power is my potential, a gift for me to discover. I am endowed with wisdom, love, and creativity, gemstones meant to be uncovered and shared with the world. I am rich in my capacity to use these gifts to reach goals and create my life with intentionality. As I think, speak, and behave in accordance with my divine abilities, I share my treasures. I bring into the light the hidden parts of myself, knowing my power comes from expressing my best self. The scripture reading is taken from Ephesians 2:10, and it reads, For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which go prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message of Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So you can see we're dressed casual today. You know, we're in the throes of summer and 90-degree weather, so we thought we would be casual when we did this this service this morning. But again, you know, the idea of listening to the right voice, I've had people already say to me, what does that mean? Okay, what is this all about, listening to the right voice? Well, as usual, the basis for this lesson comes out of my own inner battle with varying thoughts, emotions, and feelings around varying situations, circumstances, events, and, you know, people in my life. So hopefully, you know what I'm referring to from your own life. You know, what kind of inner struggles might you be going through? So we're going to kind of look at that and try to come up with a way of working our way through that kind of internal dynamics. And you know how it is, you know, stuff comes up and the inner dialogue in your mind and heart begins, you know. And we're not just referring to troubling, challenging stuff. We're also looking at, you know, the good, the joyful stuff, because all of it seems to initiate an inner dialogue that can make us happy and joyful or dismayed and fearful. And the challenge for us as truth seekers is trying to determine who is doing the talking. We are listening to, you know, who's doing that talking that we're listening to in our own mind? Is it our personal self or is it our God self? Is it the common everyday dialogue that comes from a, you know, a lifelong way of responding or reacting to various life circumstances? Or is there, are we aware of, you know, quietly within our mental chatter, a still small voice offering us comfort, courage, and wise counsel? That is what we want to explore in this lesson. Which voice in our head are we most likely to listen to? And how do we purposely tap into the still small voice of divine intuition and divine guidance? You see, we're all familiar with the concept of divine intuition and divine guidance. You know, most of the concepts we talk about on Sunday are, you know, things that we, you know, at least know about. You know, this divine intuition and divine guidance, you know, the inner voice of the Holy Spirit or Christ or God, or it really doesn't matter much what we call it. What really matters is whether or not we are attuning ourselves to hear it, okay? So we read in Isaiah 30:21, it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, okay? Basically meaning that we are always receiving divine guidance by way of divine intuition. And this is the voice we are striving to learn how to discern, listen to, and follow. But as we all know from our lifelong experiences, there are other voices constantly chattering in our minds that create scenarios that we are, you know, more, you know, familiar with. You know, whether we like them or not, you know, we know these stories that a lot of times, you know, just running through our minds. And because they're familiar, it can make it difficult to filter through all the inner chatter to decipher the divine intuition or divine guidance we are constantly receiving. So again, Isaiah 30:19-22. And this is going to be the verse that we're going to use, or the scripture we're going to use through most of this lesson. It says, people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious God will be when you cry for help. As soon as God hears you, you will receive an answer. Although the Lord gives you, here it is, the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Then you will desecrate your idols and overlay with silver your images covered by gold. You will throw them away and say to them, away with you, no longer, I no longer need you. Okay. Now, there's a lot in that scripture, and it's really good stuff, okay? We can use that to help us with this quest for continuously increasing our ability to hear the divine within us. So we all know that when we ask God for help, we do receive it. Let me say that again. When we ask God for help, we do receive it. The scriptural verses that speak to this divine truth of asking you shall receive for note takers can be found in Luke 11:9-10, John 16:23-24, and Matthew 7:7-8. But it is one thing to know it intellectually, and a completely different thing to do the work required to actually hear the divine in your mind, heart, and spirit answering your prayer, okay? So it is never that God doesn't answer. It has everything to do with our ability to listen to and understand the answer. That's where the key is. And this follows that, you know, the same notion that once you have seen God, you cannot unsee God. So it is also once you have heard God, you cannot unhear God, okay? And what you hear from God when you really hear it is unmistakable, even though it may seem to be undoable, because it may be different from our own typical way of responding or reacting to what is occurring in our lives, okay? And the part of this scripture that expresses, although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more, with your own eyes you will see them. Now this takes some interpretation to understand Jewish symbolism. So embedded within it, you know, we hear this in terms of the bread of adversity. Okay, when you hear that bread of adversity, think of stuff in your life, your thoughts, fears, emotional hurts and wounds, the things you intend to do, especially those things you need to do to be safe and healthy and happy and confident, self-assured and so on. Think of all the things you need to accomplish to bring more stability into your life. You know, these are the things that can cause the bread of adversity to show up in your life. Now, the bread of adversity being a challenge that brings to your attention something you are or are not doing that's critical to creating and maintaining joy, security, health, and peace in some form in your life, okay? Now, let's be clear. There's no God doing this, you know, even though it said, even though God gives you the bread of adversity, there's no God doing this. Rather, it is the God of your being, your higher divine intelligence, that's always working for your highest good. That is bringing to your attention what it is you need to work on so that you can move from anxiety to joy, peace, and calm. And what is further significant about the bread of adversity is that it often creates a scenario in your life that brings to your attention something you need to do that you were not aware of that you needed to do. Okay. So it's the idea of the bread of adversity will lead you to the bread of life. Right? So now the bread of life comes from listening to, understanding, and following the divine guidance you receive. Right? That's the bread of life. Again, it comes from listening to, understanding, and following the divine guidance that you receive. Now, this obedience on your part to follow divine wisdom stirs up within you new vitality in your mind, body, and spirit. So once you kind of click in and you realize that you're receiving divine intuition and divine guidance, once you get that and begin to move on it, it stirs up within you in you kind of a new sense of life, okay? It stirs it up in your mind, body, and spirit. Now, in the revealing word, it says bread represents universal substance, okay? Now, think of universal substance as the God stuff in our minds that we can mold into whatever it is we need in our lives, okay? It is the God stuff being referred to in the scriptures when it says, ask and you shall receive. So when you read in scripture, those scriptures I gave you, and it says basically ask and you shall receive, it's referring to the God stuff, okay? Basically meaning that what we're asking for has already been given, but in the form of universal substance that we can mold and shape into what we need or desire, okay? Now, yes, I know we're thinking to ourselves, well, that doesn't help me. But we have also been given a guide. You know, saying, I'm not sure if I know how to mold this God stuff, this divine universal substance is what I need in my life, okay? But we've also been given a guide that will help us to understand how to use and mold universal substance into what we need. That guide being the Holy Spirit or the Christ. Now, think about my story from the recent lesson, I think it was lesson before last, on how I unknowingly drew into my life the right doctor with the right spiritual mindset to provide what I truly needed, the healing that I needed, okay? So this means that universal substance works even when you do not realize you are working it, okay? Let me say it again. Universal substance works even when you do not realize that you're working it. So think how incredible it would be if we trained ourselves to listen to the right voice in our time of need, okay? The voice of the universal omnipresent Christ that is active in every situation of our lives. Okay? Now, but because we may not always be in the right mental, emotional headspace, okay? I want to clarify that because stuff happens in our lives a lot of times that we just can't get ourselves in the right mental, emotional headspace, okay? So even though we're not there, okay, you know, this place where we are consciously aware of the Christ being in every aspect of our lives, we often choose, usually unconsciously, the bread of adversity. So when we're not in the right headspace, we sometimes can choose the bread of adversity, meaning we choose thoughts and actions that can lead to fear, anxiety, and confusion, okay? So choosing the bread of adversity can lead us to this fear-based thinking, okay? But it's important to realize that both the bread of adversity and the bread of life exist concurrently, okay? However, which one we will choose depends on our cultivated ability to listen to the right voice. Cultivated meaning we really worked at it, okay? We cultivated ourselves. We worked to get ourselves to listen to the right voice. But because we're always in God's loving care, you might say, well, it doesn't always happen for me. But because we're in God's loving care, the bread of adversity is designed to lead us eventually to the bread of life. It said that because of where we are presently in consciousness, it seems that many times the bread of life can only be achieved through consuming the bread of adversity. Okay? Sometimes we just can't get to it. And here's two quotes that kind of speak to that. Roy Bennett expressed, "Your hardest times often lead to the greatest moments of your life. Keep going. Tough situations build strong people in the end." And Dieter Ustoff expressed, "It is your reaction to adversity, not adversity itself, that determines how your life story will be written." Right? So the scripture from Isaiah that we read, said that when you become able to consciously choose the bread of life over the bread of adversity, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Right? Now, in my life, I constantly give thanks to my guides and teachers. Right? That's how it works for me. Knowing that I'm continuously being guided to make the best choices in my life. Now, if you heard me affirm, many, many times before, my affirmation is, I am grateful God is first in my life, revealing to me the orderly process of my life. However, this is important. This doesn't mean that I do not sometimes choose the bread of adversity. Okay? This happens when I'm not in the right headspace to be able to hear the right voice and understand the guidance that I'm being given. So I just want to emphasize that this doesn't work constantly all the time, but it works more often the more, remember that word, you cultivate your ability to hear the right voice. All right, so that's important, especially in these uncertain, undefinable times we're in right now. We will continue to choose the bread of adversity many times as we're trying to find our way through this life experience. But this is what Michelle Obama says. She said, "You should never view your challenges as a disadvantage. Instead, it is important for you to understand that the experience you gain from facing and overcoming adversity is actually one of your biggest advantages." Okay? So, think about that. The spiritual journey is not about trying to reach a problem-free life. What it is about is learning how to listen to your own personal spiritual guide, the Holy Spirit or Christ or whatever you want to call it. Because as one quote expressed, difficult roads often lead to beautiful destinations. So to finish interpreting the Isaiah scripture, it is written that once you are able to decipher the God-guided way to walk, and you choose to walk it, then you will, listen to this, desecrate your idols overlaid with silver and your images covered with gold. You will throw them away and say to them, away with you. I no longer need you. Now, our idols, and think, listen to this, remember, everything is symbolism. Our idols and mental images overlaid with gold and silver represents the thoughts, feelings, opinions, beliefs, perceptions, ways of being that we cling to, right? We cling to them. That's why it said your idols of gold and silver, because we cling to them like they're worth gold and silver. You know, all these things that make us who we are in our perception, the way we see life, okay? And, you know, but these things that we cling to could very be the catalyst for much of the turmoil that we experience in our lives. So the use of this of symbols of gold and silver mean we place great value on the way we are, not really wanting to change, even while knowing that the spiritual journey we claim to be on requires change, great change from the way we presently are. But let's be real. We all have this question in our minds. What's wrong with the way that I am, right? Think about it. You know, we all have that question. What's wrong with the way that I am? And quite frankly, from a personal perspective, nothing. Nothing is wrong with the way that we are. It's just the way we are. But from a spiritual perspective, we read in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, it says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, so that you can be made new in the attitude of your minds and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, as I often say, scripture can be harsh, and sometimes you think to yourself, yeah, that was nice, but, you know, what do I do with that? But what this verse is explaining is that often what we say we spiritually want, okay, and what we say we want personally just do not match. That is why it was saying about, you know, deceitful corruption, or however I put it. See, this scripture is advising us that basically one thought process could be corrupting the other. In other words, our personal thought process could be corrupting our spiritual dynamic, okay? And as one source explained, what we think consciously and subconsciously continuously dictates how we feel about love and peace and joy and hope and a sense of purpose. See, that's on one hand, but it also dictates, you know, how we feel in terms of fear and anxiety and anger and isolation and depression and aimlessness, you know. So the question for each of us to ponder is this dichotomy, you know, between the personal self and the spiritual self, you know, this dichotomy in our present way of thinking and being preventing us from shifting into higher states of consciousness that we say that we want, okay? And I know that, you know, truth statements like put off the old self can make us just discount them because, you know, those sayings, because they either do not make sense or we just really don't know how to do that. Remember, I used to say all the time, the ego has a hard time figuring out how to jump out of the ego, okay? But let's keep in mind that the spiritual journey is not so much about how we are now as it is about where we want to go next, okay? And I brought to mind Myrtle Fillmore used to say that, you know, we love you, we love ourselves as we are, but we don't want to let ourselves stay there, okay? We want to keep evolving. So David Benner, he writes this. He says, the self begins the spiritual journey. The self that begins the spiritual journey is the self of our own creation, the self we thought ourselves to be, okay? This is the self that dies on the journey. The self that arrives is the self that was loved into existence by divine love. This is the person we were destined from eternity to become. We are the one. The I. Thank you, sweetie. We are the I that is hidden in the I. Okay? So the answer to the earlier question am I good enough as I am, again, is absolutely yes. But with what we are learning about the spiritual journey, do we want to stay there? Okay. And if the answer to the question is no, I don't want to stay here. I want to keep evolving. You know, I want to continue to evolve and continue to become more aware of the I hidden in the I am, then the answer to our ever-present question, how do I return to the self that was loved into existence by divine love, is that we must attune ourselves to listen to the right voice. Right? So I'm going to leave, that's a lot. That was a lot. I know it was a lot. But I'm going to leave you with this poem from Shel Silverstein. And it says, there is a voice inside of you that whispers all day long. I feel that this is right for me. I know that this is wrong. No teacher, preacher, parent, friend, or wise man can decide what's right for you. Just listen to the voice that speaks inside of you. And so it is. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So as we now become still and be in that relaxed position, I want to take a nice deep breath in. Allow your mind to relax and become still. Take a deep breath in and exhale gently and repeat. Consciously slow your breathing with each breath, releasing any tension or negative thoughts. You are now centered, relaxed, and at peace as you focus on the following intention. The power of my thoughts and words move me closer to the truth of my being. There is power in my words and thoughts, energizing, renewing creative power. I take charge of my thoughts and words and the creative energy they contain to come into a greater God awareness. I am divine in nature, one with God. I release anything that contradicts my God nature, and I consciously choose that which elevates and expresses my true identity. I pay attention to my thoughts and emotions, and I choose my response to circumstances with awareness and intention. I unlearn old habit patterns and also limiting beliefs. I affirm and speak words of truth, releasing vital energy that invigorates my mind, body, and my consciousness. If I should miss the mark, I pause and reflect, reset my focus, and move forward without shame or blame. I redirect my course and continue my journey forward, grateful for wisdom gained. Nothing is stronger than the divine power and divine love within me. I use my power, my words, thoughts, and intentions to release good into the world. I use my power to uplift and inspire others. By the power within, I am a living expression of truth, and I bring good to the world. Now I ask that you join me as we enter into the secret place of the Most High. Here you may speak in the silence what is on your heart and mind, and prepare for answers to come. Holy Spirit, we are grateful for your presence in our lives. We are thankful in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings.
Thank you, Han. So, this is the time that we acknowledge all the gifts that we receive from Spirit. And it's interesting, you know, we might sometimes think to ourselves, well, I got this from so-and-so or this place. But, you know, we are the receptacle of all the divine good that we open ourselves up to. And so we just want to be thankful for abundance, not just prosperity in terms of money and things, but abundance that flows into our lives. So let's say our prosperity prayer together, giving thanks. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen. And this next blessing, as we know, is, you know, what we do to support Unity Center of Light, our spiritual home, our spiritual family. And so holding your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, let's say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right. Now you have light notes.
Yes. Light notes for today, Sunday, July the 9th. On Sunday, July the 16th, that's next Sunday, our guest speaker will be the Reverend Sherry Quander, and Safi will be our musician. More information will be available shortly. Our next Women of Unity get-together will be August 26th at 2:30 p.m. That's a Saturday. Remember that this is an open group. All women may attend, and we hope that you think about it and mark your calendar with that date so that you will prepare to come on the 26th. More details about what we'll be discussing will follow. We will be collecting backpacks and school supplies for Bowie area youth from July to this month through to August the 13th. You may bring in the backpacks and supplies on our in-person Sunday or email Patty to make arrangements to drop them off at the church office. Also, let Patty know if you would be available to help pack and deliver the backpacks to the area schools. Okay, that concludes our announcements.
Oh, okay. All right. So,
what time is it? It's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week, and we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful. And then right into our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope that you have a wonderful week.
Yes.
And we will see you next week.
All right.
Bye-bye.